Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Thursday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Good news, bad news, crazy news for conservatives today. And Jim, the good martini is kind of an interesting one, slightly multifaceted, but we'll start it with the clip that most people have probably heard already, and that's Bob Woodward talking with Wolf Blitzer last night on CNN about a email that he received that we now can confirm was from White House economics advisor Gene Sperling.
And it was said to me in an email by a top... It was said very clearly, you will regret doing this.
Who sent that email to you?
Well, I'm not going to say.
Was it a senior person at the White House? A very senior person.
And what will he regret doing? Essentially pointing out clearly that Obama's the one who came up with the idea of sequester and the parameters for that sequester. And so the White House is using a ton of oxygen to go after Woodward or anybody else who tries to mess with their deeply flawed narrative in terms of the truth. And as we've seen this morning from Lanny Davis speaking with WMAL here in Washington and reporters from National Journal like Ron Fournier, who is former AP correspondent at the White House, this is not an isolated incident for Bob Woodward. And National Journal also pointing out that it's odd that they're expending this much capital when they've got so many big issues they want to get done and now probably won't.
Yeah, I mean, when you read the email from Sperling to Woodward, it doesn't sound that nasty. But we don't know what the phone call that precedent of that. He apologizes for yelling on the phone. Woodward says it was about a half-hour phone call, and it sounds like it was a it probably was pretty darn hostile. And probably, you know, and most people say think of Gene Sperling as being a fairly even-keeled kind of guy. But what's kind of fascinating about this is that you're now getting, you know, it was David Jackson of USA Today said most reporters on the White House beat have gotten that same kind of treatment. And while you're undoubtedly all over Washington and almost anybody who's in journalism, you're going to have conversations with sources in which you don't write what they like and they're going to disagree. It certainly does seem like very obnoxious, profane, and certainly implied threats come from this White House. And who knows if those threats mean, you know, we're not going to cooperate with you on stories anymore. We're not going to return your phone calls, or whether it's going to be, you know, you'll wake up with a horse's head in your bed. You know, it does kind of say something about this White House, and it really is pushing back on Woodward reporting a fact, you know, an inconvenient truth, to quote the former vice president, that, you know, the ultimately sequestration was Obama's idea. Now, there was bipartisan majorities voting for it, but he signed it into law. And, you know, I went back and just posted on Campaign Spot back in summer of 2011. The White House was saying is this was a win for the economy and budget discipline, the sequestration deal. So, I mean, I'm sure they felt, as we were saying this morning, John Boehner, the sequestration represented a bet by both sides. John Boehner was betting he'd be working with President Romney, and President Obama was betting that he'd be working with Speaker Pelosi. And neither one of them got what they wanted in election 2012. So here we are. And what's kind of fascinating is this president is completely dedicated to making sure the opposition gets the blame for sequestration instead of actually coming up with any better alternative. That's why he's doing the rallies down in Virginia, and he had his first responders at the White House. Great news, though, Greg. He's going to meet, in order to stop sequestration, he's willing to meet with Republicans after sequestration kicks in.
Big priority in the schedule. And if you look at his schedule today, he's got lunch with Joe Biden. And so clearly that's packed. Just a packed schedule that he couldn't possibly create any other room to meet with congressional leaders. So clearly this is all about theatrics. And interestingly, the Lanny Davis account, he was writing an opinion piece for the Washington Times, and the Obama White House called up the editor of the Washington Times and threatened to pull the White House credentials, which didn't even relate to Lanny Davis at the time. But truly bizarre. And Lanny Davis, of course, was a White House counsel during the Clinton administration, which was a very busy job during that time. On to martini number two now, and sticking with sequestration. And we've talked about this a couple of different times, and Jim has written about it in the Morning Jolt today. And that's that the Department of Homeland Security, and if you believe the White House, not even the Department of Homeland Security, Immigration and Customs Enforcement has decided that the most important thing to cut funding on is the detention of illegal aliens. So they've let several hundred of them go. He was asked, Jay Carney, the White House press secretary, asked on Wednesday, aren't you worried that some of these people might be dangerous if you let them back into society? Here's Carney's pathetic answer.
This was a decision made by career officials at ICE without any input from the White House as a result of fiscal uncertainty over the continuing resolution as well as possible sequestration. As ICE made clear yesterday, the agency released these low-risk, non-criminal detainees under a less expensive form of monitoring to ensure detention levels stayed within ICE's overall budget. All of these individuals remain in removal proceedings.
Jim, do they take responsibility for anything?
You know, what's kind of fascinating about this spin is, well, first of all, do you know how much we save for each illegal immigrant we release out into the public with hopefully with a low jack on him that he's not going to be able to wiggle out of?
How much?
$164 a day. We're going to get this debt done in no time, right? You know, Greg? Boy, oh, piece of cake, you know. It makes me almost want to do some sort of like Sally Struthers-like PSA video. With a low cost of $164 a day, you too can keep an illegal immigrant behind bars and hopefully not, you know, driving recklessly on the roads or you know, doing worse crimes. I'm sure ICE – but first of all, I love how the administration's poses, look, there's no threat to this, but it totally wasn't our idea. Look, we just work here, okay? It's not like the president is head of the executive branch. It's not like he and his cabinet can call – it's not like Jenna Napolitano could just call up ICE and say, don't do this. Oh, by the way, sequestration hasn't kicked in yet. Oh, wait a minute. It hasn't. So apparently this is a prequel, Greg. This is just kind of giving a sneak preview of what we can expect more. Because as everyone says, I remember back in 2012, wasn't Obama running strongly on I'm going to let illegal immigrants free, right? That was part of his platform?
Sure.
Open up the jails. What is this? The boat lift or something? So we're now round the bend. We are deep down the rabbit hole. Nothing makes sense anymore. You know, we have to laugh because the spin is so implausible and the policy choices are so absolutely asinine, Greg. I'd like to think, and this kind of ties into it, like we're starting to see the messaging from the White House start to run away from it. And it may explain why they're going bat you know what crazy on Bob Woodward, et cetera. That maybe they're starting to realize things are you know, that they're not going to win this. You can't spin a 2% cut as a catastrophic. You know, if you say a 2% cut will basically lead to apocalypse, the American people are just not likely to buy that. And basically, if you do, then you say, well, if a 2% cut really does destroy your organization, you're the worst manager ever.
And if you're, you know, Marco Rubio or anyone thinking seriously about the immigration reform movement here, and the president's out there promising to secure the borders, and then the first thing he does days before sequestration is let a bunch of detained illegals go, you can really guarantee, take it to the bank, that he's really going to be tough on border enforcement and deportation. Just unbelievable.
Could you imagine any president, even Bill Clinton? Let's assume that, you know, we're in crazy land and Carney's right. If somebody came up to Bill Clinton and said, hi, Mr. President, we're letting out lots of people out of detention centers as a budgetary move, and we think they're low risk to the public, or we're not sure. Do you think Bill Clinton would be, okay, cool?
Depends how close he was to an election, probably.
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe towards the end when he's pardoning Mark Rich and stuff like that, he'd just shrug and all that stuff. But like first term Bill Clinton, you know, particularly close to Election Day. And any other president, there'd be like this purple rage of what the heck are you, you know, that's the first place you cut? Really? Look, how much cash do we have on? I'll get $164 right now, you know. So, you know, you could probably find that kind of money in the between the couch cushions of the Oval Office. Okay, oh, that one didn't work. But anyway, carry on. When jokes don't work, I've learned from Seth MacFarlane, if a joke doesn't work, joke that it didn't work, and that makes much funnier.
There you go. All right. Well, we mentioned the president is having lunch with Joe Biden today, and you got to wonder if at some point the president's going to say, what's with the shotgun reference all the time? Because every time Joe Biden's talking about why we need to pass this gun control legislation, he talks about why don't get an AR-15, don't get a semi-automatic, go buy a shotgun. Last week he got in trouble for saying that he told his wife to, if she ever feels threatened, to just take the shotgun out, fire a couple of rounds into the air, and everybody will run away scared. Well, now speaking with Field and Stream, he has said, well, you know, my shotgun will do better for you than your AR-15 because you want to keep someone away from your house. Just fire the shotgun through the door. Most people can handle a shotgun a lot better than they can handle a semi-automatic weapon in terms of both their aim and in their ability to deter people coming. Well, first of all, there's a lot of people that say that the AR-15 is very easy to use, particularly for women. There's not much of a kick to it. Jim, I don't know if he's been following this overhyped murder story from South Africa with the Paralympic runner.
you beat me to the punchline, Greg. I was about to say, Biden's self-defense approach has now been endorsed by Oscar Pistorius.
Right, go ahead.
The vice president, like, if heaven forbid, something really heavy fell on Vice President Biden's head, and he were to experience some sort of mental impediment or something that basically made him go cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, to use the technical mental illness term. Greg, how would we know?
We wouldn't.
The vice president just said, look, if you think there's an intruder, shoot the door, you know, and hope for the best. Hope that, you know, like, you know, and I'm sure one of the reasons that, you know, they're pushing all of these other anti-gun control efforts, all these other anti-Second Amendment proposals and ideas and legislation, Greg, isn't the whole point to avoid accidental shooting?
Right.
One of the fascinating things, you know, that some people would say that Dan Quayle was ridden too hard by the media. Some people would say, yeah, he had it coming. But what's kind of fascinating is, you know, Biden will say these things and everyone just kind of, you know, averts their eyes, pretends, you know, let's all pretend that Biden didn't just believe the proper home defense technique is to shoot at doors with shotguns and hope for the best.
The more he talks about this, the more I'm convinced he has either never or very rarely actually used a gun of any way, shape, or form. I'm pretty sure he didn't actually say that to his wife. And to now go this recklessly in an interview with Field and Stream just shows that either they're just hopelessly desperate or he honestly has no idea what he's talking about.
I think he just does, like, he just doesn't pay attention to what he's saying. And so by the beginning of sentence, he's thinking one thing. And by the end of the sentence, he's thinking something completely different. I don't know. It's a bizarre... bizarre advice, and there are other folks. I think we all seen that the Biden advice of shoot, you know, that he'd given earlier is against the law in Delaware. I believe it's an unlawful discharge of a firearm So there you go. That's unsurprisingly, don't listen to the vice president for legal advice or home defense advice or advice for most other things, I would say.
That's true. I love how this narrative is building, though. First he says get a shotgun. Then he says fire the warning shots. Then he says shoot through the door. I can't wait to see what he suggests we do with a shotgun next. So,
do we, Greg? Really?
Because you know he's going to, the more he knows.
Oh, God. You know, there's something about vice presidents and firearms. It just seems like a formula for trouble.
Poor Vice President Cheney. Anyway, well, actually, poor the guy he shot more than poor Vice President Cheney. But anyway, we'll leave it there. Jim, have a good day. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
See you tomorrow, Greg.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Friday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.